Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
Your host, Beth Ann.
And I welcome you today to CSE Talk Radio. It is my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. You know, the sun is shining, and it hasn't been much lately, so I'm in a good mood today. It's, as the times we live in grow ever more chaotic and strange, there's something or someone that we can cling to, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go into prayer this morning. For such a time as this, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you again seeking your wisdom. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. You love us and are always there with open arms to receive us, your children. The mess this world is in it that we created is no surprise to you. I ask, O God, that you will bring this nation back to you. May we once again be your people. A people on our knees, seeking your forgiveness and your direction in our lives. Be with our president and those around him. May they make wise decisions. There is so much at stake. While we have been an arrogant people, Father, I pray this chaos will wake us up. And may the scales fall from our eyes and may we clearly see the truth that lays before us. I believe you have placed me here for such a time as this, to encourage and to lead with shows of truth and common sense. Bless my advertisers and my sponsors and my listeners. May we all work together for such a time as this and bring America home. Amen. We are forever being told silly little quips. I mentioned several of these yesterday. She must be believed. We have a hole in the ozone and the earth is getting cooler and colder. We're all going to freeze. It'll be a new ice age. First, we must pass the bill and then we will read it. The CO2 emissions are too high and the earth is going to burn up from the global warming. The earth is overpopulated. CO2 levels are dangerously high. The world as we know it will end in 12 years. Well, it was 10, but they ran out of time. I think we're now down to 9. Yikes! We haven't got much time left. Fossil fuel is killing us. You can run, but you can't hide from the falling sky and the rising tide. That was from Rudy. He asked me what I wanted for a teaser this morning. The sky is falling, and that attitude has been around for a long time. But unlike Chicken Little, those who are preaching the end tell us that for the right amount of trillions of dollars, we can save the earth. But you see, with them, it isn't about the earth, it isn't about the science, it's about the money and the power and the control. I believe in science. Those of us who dare to question in constant prophets of doom and gloom, at the end of the world sayers, we're scorned. We're scorned and labeled as deniers and science haters, but that's not true at all. I was taught science questions everything and is in a constant search for the whys and the wheres. I'm not a scientist myself, but I am a skeptic. Perhaps that's part of being a Missourian, you know, the show me state. Years and years ago, I met a man. He was on the docket to speak, just as I was. He started out sounding all wise and very sure of himself. Of course, he stayed that way as far as being sure of himself. And I was listening intently at that point. But then he went off the board, warning us of the doom and the gloom that the sea levels are rising and all the Navy knows it. And that's why when they retire, they're all moving to Missouri. But then I got to thinking, really, because we're not the highest altitude. At the very highest point here, we're 1,772 feet. I had Rudy look that up this morning. Don't think I'm all smart and knew that. But from that moment on, very little of his talk made any sense to me. He was making statements and predictions that just weren't so. And even now, they haven't come to fruition. I couldn't escape the room. I had to sit there. I had to try to hide my emotions. And I wondered if everyone else felt as I did. I found out many did. But there were many others ready to buy his book. Yes, he'd written a book. And head for higher ground. Today's show, as I told you yesterday, was going to be CO2 Coalition sponsored. Dave Burton is the guest today. He's a member of the CO2 Coalition and creator of the clevel.info website. It's a great website, by the way. The man who says it's far better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Dave is going to help us put a little light a candle today. Dave, welcome to CSC Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing much better than I deserve. You've been reading my stuff, I can see.
I've been trying to read your stuff. I'll tell you what, you're way above my pay grade.
Oh, not really. I'm just a harmless data drudge. I'm not one of these people with lots of credentials. I have degrees in computer science and system science, and I crunch data. And when I look at the data, I see what it shows and what it doesn't show. We had here in North Carolina a big issue a few years ago with our folks wanting to shut down development on the coast because climate change is going to cause drastic sea level rise. And everything was going to be flooded, and so you shouldn't build anything. And so I dug into the data, is what I do, and it turns out it's not true at all. So that's how I got involved in this whole morass. Anyhow, that's how I ended up with a website called clevel.info. You can go on there and you can pick out, I pulled the data, you know, I didn't collect this data myself. I pulled the data from NOAA and from a European organization called PSMSL. There's about 1,200 locations around the globe where they have what are called tide gauges, where they measure sea level. And some of them have very, very long records. People have been measuring sea level very precisely for, in some cases, 200 years, which makes it by far the best data that we have that's even remotely related to climate. We don't have temperature data that is good going back anywhere near that far. But we have sea level measurements not because people were worried about climate change in the 1800s, but because they didn't want ships to run aground. So near channels and harbors, you have tide gauges, which precisely measure the water levels and the tidal changes, and so that they can predict them, so they can make sure that the ships don't run aground. And we've got, in some cases, continuous data going back well over a century, in a few cases, even two centuries. And what they show us is that there has been no detectable acceleration in the rate of sea level rise. Now, sea level, on average, is rising. Not much, but it is rising on average around the world. But there's been no detectable change in that trend since the 1920s, which means that man-made climate change cannot have been responsible for it, obviously.
Well, we've gone through an awful lot, and I was looking at your website with the data that was there and the numbers. they make sense, but I have to really kind of read and then read it again because I'm not a scientist, so I have to kind of try and study that a little bit. But when I was at this conference or whatever this thing was, it was actually a preparedness expo, so they had lots of people that were doom and gloomers because they were trying to sell products. And this gentleman was predicting all kinds of things, and me being the skeptic, and then he started going off on some stuff. Okay, this guy's not for real. So I started thinking about that and looking into other things and other places and other science areas to see just exactly what was going on. And just recently I found the CO2 Coalition, which I'm so thankful for. We're headed into a break. We're not going to take phone calls today. We have a lot of information to share. And I think Dave will have to come back a time or two because he's got lots of stuff we want to talk about. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. Don't be afraid. Just be prepared. And you know what? Get on your knees once in a while. And we will be right back. Our founding fathers knew that the heartland would be coveted by those who want the land and its resources, or hated by those who simply do not understand its value. It is that simple. And yet today, the humble folks in the heartland are losing jobs and feeling the pressures from an out-of-control bureaucracy as well as outsiders with agendas. From the heartlands of America come our food, manufacturing, and our energy. CSC Talk Radio is a voice crying from the heartland and standing up for rural America. And so is Power the Future. Power the Future is a unique foundation established to be the voice for rural American energy jobs. Daniel Turner is a strong advocate pushing against those who would like to punish rural folks and take their jobs for the sake of climate change or the land and its wealth. I'm proud to be a part of Power the Future and bring Daniel Turner here to you. Our future depends on it. Let's power the future as we bring America home to common sense jobs and give our rural families a voice. Visit powerthefuture.us. Powerthefuture.us is the way to bring America home. Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. Made in America is more than just a slogan. It's a brand we all look for to better this nation's economy. Liberty Tabletop is the brand of Sherrill Manufacturing. The only manufacturer of flatware in the United States of America, Liberty Tabletop creates high-quality flatware at a competitive price using the finest quality 1810 chromium nickel stainless steel. Oh, and by the way, the steel they use is also made in the USA. The steel is tested for lead and other toxic trace elements, so you bring to your family a safe and pure product that will last for generations. Setting your table is an important part of every meal. The patterns you choose say something about you and your family. Bringing America home with LibertyTabletop.com or go to my website, CSETalkRadio.com, and click on their link. Call Liberty Tabletop at 844-386-2338. Use the promo code BethAnn and receive 10% off your purchase. LibertyTabletop.com. And we have returned to listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. Dave, before we go any farther with the sea levels, and we'll get on that, I promise. I want to get back to that. But your last question you sent to me in the email was maybe we should talk about how the climate scare has affected the response to everybody in the corona pandemic. And I wanted to, you had some data on your website about that, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit. You know, yesterday AOC was singing the praises for the death of our energy sector with our fossil fuels, and I'm thinking this girl, she needs an education. let's talk about this climate change and the pandemic.
Okay, I think that the climate scare. I mean, you talked about Chicken Little, but I think the boy who cried wolf is a better analogy.
Oh, probably so.
We've been hearing from self-proclaimed experts for years telling us that we're doomed due to climate change, and we're going to have to basically dismantle the industrial age in order to save the planet and things like that. And when you dig into the data, there really is no support for that. It's basically superstition. We've been hearing it over and over again from people who are always introduced as being scientists that when we have a real crisis that is killing large numbers of people, a lot of folks who have been paying attention are slow to accept, slow to realize that this one is real. you know, like the story of the boy who cried wolf, you sound false alarms enough times, and then people don't respond properly to the real alarms. And so it is possible to handle this coronavirus situation successfully. South Korea has done a marvelous job. In fact, they had a big spike in cases. They handled it properly. They did extensive testing and did contact tracing, and they isolated the folks who carried the disease, and they basically stamped it out. They have almost none of it left. And that all happened, or mostly happened, before we started getting very many cases at all in the United States, and yet somehow we and most of the rest of the world did not learn from that. And part of the problem, I think, was that people weren't taking the alarm seriously because they've heard so many false alarms.
I think that's probably true. I don't know that we've handled it correctly, but I'm certainly glad I'm not the leader trying to pull the, you know, trying to figure out what to do. But I feel like right now we're in a crisis financially in this nation because we've just shut it down. And it's something that it's very concerning. And right now I think it's getting very, very critical. And I was listening to him talking last night. We'll get back to topic here in just a second. But I was listening to them last night talking about the jobs and some of the small businesses that are going to be gone. And we already are hearing some of the corruption where the loans that were supposed to go to the small businesses went to some of these big corporations who didn't really need it. And it goes on and on and on. And I'm thinking, we don't have time for this. We don't have time to be messing around. We need to start getting this nation back in working mode. And people need to get out of their houses, and children need to get out of their houses. I've got grandkids, and they're all in the house with the parents. Somebody sent me a little thing yesterday. If you've been missing your grandchildren, I'm going to leave them with you for a month after this pandemic. One tired mom. I thought, well, I've done my time. I don't know. I don't think I need them for a month. But it is getting very concerning for people.
It is. It is. And South Korea had an advantage, which of course didn't seem like an advantage, in that, but they have had practice. They had the SARS epidemic, and they had MERS. So it seems like about every 8 or 10 years, those folks have had to deal with some kind of very threatening disease outbreak. And so they've gotten very good at it. And so it's to be expected that we wouldn't respond as adeptly as they have. But they, because they have been right on top of this thing, they are, you know, they're not all, their businesses are not shut down, their restaurants are not shut down. They just isolate the people who have the disease. If we will be able to do that, too, once we have the testing capacity and once we have contact tracing so that we can find the people who have the disease. You can't let people back into restaurants and barbershops if you can't tell whether or not they're going to infect somebody else with the disease. Unfortunately, it's a challenge, but it is something that we certainly can deal with. This disease is a lot more dangerous than some people realize. We have basically final numbers from South Korea. So we, you know, most of their cases, three-quarters of their cases are resolved, and we know what the fatality rate is, for instance, from this disease, based on their numbers. They found everybody that had the disease, with very few exceptions, and most of the cases are resolved, so we know how it came out. And the answer is it's about a 2.5% fatality rate. That is 20 times worse than the flu, a typical seasonal flu. Now, it's not worse than the 1918 flu epidemic that killed off about 2% of the world's population. But it is a lot worse than we're used to dealing with. And so it doesn't need to be taken seriously, but it needs to be handled better than we're currently handling it.
Yeah,
in New York, for crying out loud, they're still running the subway, for crying out loud. Blasio and Cuomo haven't even shut down the New York mass transit system that spreads this disease. So there's a lot of missteps.
But they're willing to arrest people if they don't obey their orders, except if they're the ones on the subway. question or not.
Yeah,
that was pretty interesting last night.
A lot of stuff doesn't make much sense. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And again, I think, you know, it's like some of the other, only this one is real. It's kind of like some of the other. It's all about control and to gain just a little bit more over the people. And, you know, I think the American people, I'm pretty proud of them. You know, they're protesting around the country right now. And, I'm pretty proud of them for doing that. They're doing it peacefully, and which is what they have a right to do. And I think they need to have their voices heard. They need to get out of the house and make it heard. And so we're seeing a little bit more of that. They're keeping it peaceful, and I think that's a good thing. I think it makes me feel good that they're speaking up for themselves. And And, you know, a lot of times I'm going to get back on the sea level now and the climate change. I'm old enough that I remember the global cooling. I was in high school when that was going on and those scares and the ozone hole and all the things that were predicted to happen then. And none of them have happened. And that, I think you're absolutely right. The little boy who cried wolf is a better analogy than Chicken Little. Chicken Little actually believed what he was saying. The little boy who cried wolf didn't. And I liked your little quip there on one of your articles there about Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. They don't believe the sea levels are climbing either, or they wouldn't have bought a house right there on the sea level, below sea level.
It's a beautiful place. You look at the picture. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's on Martha's Vineyard, and it is. Yeah, right on the ocean. It is it's purely above sea level, and it's pretty plain that they're not worried about sea level rise, even though they made a lot of noises like they were back when he was in office. But you talked about people driving their SUVs while preaching that people had to cut their carbon emissions, and it's the same sort of thing. So,
oh yes,
a lot of hypocrisy and
a lot of folks
that tailor their message according to their audience and less according to what they really believe. Unfortunately, there's a lot of climate science is more political science than it is geophysical science these days.
I noticed that a long time ago, and that I think that was one reason I was a big skeptic.
Yeah, you may have noticed that real hard sciences like physics and chemistry and astronomy, they don't have to put science in the name. Social science and climate science, you know, they stick science in two of my own fields, computer science and systems science. They put science in the name to try to reinforce the idea that it's scientific, and it is less so in some cases than you would hope. But anyhow, sea level is interesting. Climate science in general is interesting. It turns out, I mean, there's this whole long list of things that are supposed to be caused that are terrible, supposed to be caused by climate science, and from starting with sea level, that's always the one they mention first, but also storms are supposed to get worse, droughts are supposed to get worse, forest fires are supposed to get worse, everything's supposed to get worse. You look at the actual data on these things, and none of them are getting worse.
I want to talk about that when we come back. We're headed into a break. I'm not going to take calls today because we have a lot of information to cover. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio, CO2 Coalition sponsoring today's show with David Burton, and we will be right back.
For centuries, those who raise, breed, and work with animals have been revered and lauded for what they do. Today, across America, the rights to own and raise animals are under attack by animal rights activists and their increased influence on government and non-government agencies. This onslaught regularly violates protection from legal search and seizure and a citizen's right to due process of the law, all of which are outlined specifically in the U.S. Constitution. Protect your animals, your animal enterprise, and your property from this abuse of power. with a membership to the Cavalry Group. Membership provides immediate access to their team to protect law-abiding animal owners and animal enterprise against unwarranted search and seizure and false claims. They also work to protect their members' interests legislatively at the local, state, and federal levels. Get the shield that protects you, your animals, and your property. Join the Cavalry Group today. Call 855-748-4210 or go to their website at thecavalrygroup.com.
For such a time as this, we know that the heart of a nation takes on the heart of its people. If the people have turned from God, the nation is doomed in sin. God is in control of all nations and their leaders. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The future of this nation is relying on the bended knees of the people, God's people. Will you accept this challenge to sacrifice 5 minutes a day to kneel and to pray for such a time as this? Queen Esther was put in place by God to save her people. You have that same obligation now. Will you humble yourselves and pray, ask forgiveness, and trust in our God to heal our land and bring America home?
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-871-8852. That's 800-871-8852.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-871-8852. That's 800-871-8852.
For centuries, those who raise, breed, and work with animals have been revered and lauded for what they do. Today, across America, the rights to own and raise animals are under attack by animal rights activists and their increased influence on government and non-government agencies. This onslaught regularly violates protection from legal search and seizure and a citizen's right to due process of the law, all of which are outlined specifically in the U.S. Constitution. Protect your animals, your animal enterprise, and your property from this abuse of power with a membership to the Cavalry Group. Membership provides immediate access to their team to protect law-abiding animal owners and animal enterprise against unwarranted search and seizure and false claims. They also work to protect their members' interests legislatively at the local, state, and federal levels. Get the shield that protects you, your animals, and your property. Join the Cavalry Group today. Call 855-748-4210 or go to their website at thecavalrygroup.com.
Return to listening to CSU Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. Today's show is sponsored by CO2 Coalition. You can visit their website by going to the CO2 Coalition. No the in it, just co2coalition.com.org. I'll get this straight here in a minute. co2coalition.com. And David Burton is our guest today, and we're talking about the sea levels. Although I've talked all around the sea, we're going to talk about the sea levels. When we were going into the break, you were talking about the different things that they've been throwing at us, like the temperatures rising and this and that and the sea level rising. And some of those, while they might be true, you mentioned something on your website there that is something that I have said several times, that of course, the ice would be melting because we're no longer in an ice age, so it should melt some to some degree, right? But let's talk about those that data and the numbers and the temperatures and all that.
Sure, it is co2coalition.org. It's a good website. A lot of good information there.
Thank you.
We're actually in what is called an interglacial. It is technically an ice age, according to the geologists, because there are large sheets in Greenland and Antarctica. And when there were, when the Earth is not in an ice age, there aren't any large ice sheets. But we are in a between glaciations, which are sometimes also called ice ages, within the current what's called the Holocene. We are it's what's called an interglacial period, and so it is it's warmer than it is most of the time, but that once started long before we had automobiles and so forth putting CO2 in the air.
Right.
It is these warm within the current Holocene. There have been also shorter cycles, which are sometimes called things like ice ages. There is a thing called the Little Ice Age, which wasn't really an ice age, it's the cold period, prior to the current warm period. The Little Ice Age ended in the 1800s, and it kind of peaked. It got to its coldest temperatures a couple hundred years before that. Until this issue became so politicized, scientists called the warm periods climate optimums. So we had the current climate optimum. The previous one, about 1,000 years ago, was the medieval climate optimum or medieval warm period. It was preceded by another cold period. There's the and then. Before that, the Roman warm period or Roman climate optimum. And in general, there was a broad consensus that the warm periods were best. Somehow we've gotten to this point where people are terribly afraid of warm periods, and there really isn't any scientific basis for that. There are not any measurable trends that are worrisome. We're told a lot of things to worry about, right? We're told to worry about storms. Well, you live in a part of the country where there are a lot of tornadoes. But there
Tornado
are
Alley.
Fewer tornadoes than there used to be, huh?
Yeah, Tornado Alley, I said.
Yes. But if you look at the statistics, there are a lot fewer large tornadoes than there used to be. We don't really know what the trend is for tiny tornadoes because the measurements, you know, with Doppler radar, we can detect them a lot when they would have previously been overlooked. But the big tornadoes, the ones that nobody can overlook, those things have been trending down. So clearly, you know, man-made climate change isn't making that worse. It's clear a trend with hurricanes and other tropical cyclones. But there does seem to be a slight downward trend in those, too. We worry about those a little more here in North Carolina.
Droughts.
Droughts have not been increasing. They've actually been trending down slightly, both globally and in the United States. And more importantly, the impacts of droughts have been greatly reduced by the extra CO2 in the air. It's never mentioned by the climate alarmists, but when you have a higher level of CO2 in the air, plants become more water efficient and more resistant to damage from droughts. What happens is there's tiny pores in the leaves of plants that are used to scavenge carbon from the air in the form of carbon dioxide, which is the stuff of which life is made on planet Earth.
Right.
And when the CO2 level is higher, they can get the carbon they need with less air percolating through the pores, and they lose less water in the process. So it turns out that places like Sahel, I guess it's pronounced, which is the southern fringe of the Sahara, is green. There are plants growing and people grazing their camels, where there was nothing at all except sand and scorpions before. And one of the reasons, there have been some changes in rainfall patterns and various changes in land management, but one of the reasons is higher CO2 levels, which enables the plants to withstand the dry periods better.
Well, and I think another reason that people are more aware of some of these storms is because, you know, we have more population in those particular areas. More people are building closer to the sea because it's beautiful, just like Martha's Vineyard. So they're building closer to the sea, and so we have more destruction there, whether it's people building too close to the forest. So when there's a fire, there's more destruction there. And when the tornadoes hit in the city area, of course, there's more destruction and fatalities and such there. We had our first tornado in Jefferson City, Missouri, last year that I can recall. There wasn't any in my lifetime that actually hit the city there. They've had some other things destroy, flood and that kind of thing, because it's right on the Missouri River that just, you know, happens from time to time. But that was the first time that I know of that a tornado actually came up the 50 highway there and hit in Jefferson City, Missouri. It did quite a bit of damage, but we were very fortunate. But it's, you know, there's other areas in Missouri, and Oklahoma gets hit a lot. We hear about those. That's just the nature of where we live. I have a friend that lives out on the east, you know, and he thinks he's just scared to death of tornadoes. I said, no, if you live in the Midwest, tornado sirens go off, you just go outside and look up and say, where? I don't see it. But, you know, I've always thought that the hurricanes and earthquakes would be a little bit harder to get away from than a tornado, but that's because that's where I grew up. And I think that's one reason that people get more afraid, is because they see the destruction when it does hit a highly populated area.
Yeah, we had a lot of tornadoes. I grew up in southern Michigan, and we had a lot of tornadoes there, too. The neighbor across the street apparently watched a tornado go above our house one time. From her perspective, it looked like it went right over our house, which was on top of a hill. And then the tornado went down to the base of the hill and destroyed a barn. But skipped us. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, you look at the statistics on these tornadoes, though, they're fewer than they used to be. Nobody knows why. That's, you know, they have these computer models that are supposed to model the climate. And yet you can't model something with a computer program if you don't understand it. And the climate system is so complex that they really don't understand it. They don't know why the number of tornadoes has gone down. Computer models can be useful, but the prerequisites for a useful computer model are, number one, you have to understand what you're modeling, and number two, you have to be able to test it. You have to be able to compare it with reality and see whether you got it right or wrong and fix it if it's wrong. If you can do either of those things, it may be, you know, better than worthless. So computer models, those simple things that are well understood, are often useful, even if you can't really verify them.
We're headed into a break. I've got computer modeling written down. We're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. We'll be right back.
As a business owner, when was the last time you asked yourself if you have the right commercial insurance coverage? You need business insurance to protect everything you're building. One disaster without the right insurance could hurt your business, and larger deals you're trying to close may require that you have it. We recommend CoverWallet for all your business insurance needs. In just 2 minutes, with their award-winning technology, they can offer you free competitive quotes from top insurance carriers nationwide. CoverWallet has helped tens of thousands of businesses, startups, restaurants, truckers, construction companies, landscaping companies, beauty salons, consultants, and they can help you. No business is too big or too small, and it's a free call to find out. Protect your business. Get the right insurance for your business. Call CoverWallet right now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
Liberty Tabletop brings liberty to your table. For those of you who want to display your patriot heart, set your table with Liberty, the new patriotic flatware pattern by Liberty Tabletop. Your dining table sets the mood for the American family and the American dream. Liberty honors our fallen heroes, the Liberty Bell, We the People with Stars and Stripes, our American Eagle, and the Statue of Liberty. Each piece of the Liberty Flatware pattern is an art with elegance, high-quality work, and high-quality 1810 stainless American steel. Each piece is unique while conveying the same patriotic message, liberty for all, and we love America. Order your set now, and a set as a gift for a special patriot in your life. Liberty Tabletop brings liberty home to your table. Use the promo code BethAnn and receive a discount. LibertyTabletop.com or call them 844-386-2338. Our founding fathers knew that the heartland would be coveted by those who want the land and its resources, or hated by those who simply do not understand its value. It is that simple. And yet today, the humble folks in the heartland are losing jobs and feeling the pressures from an out-of-control bureaucracy as well as outsiders with agendas. From the heartlands of America come our food, manufacturing, and our energy. CSC Talk Radio is a voice crying from the heartland and standing up for rural America, and so is Power the Future. Power the Future is a unique foundation established to be the voice for rural American energy jobs. Daniel Turner is a strong advocate pushing against those who would like to punish rural folks and take their jobs for the sake of climate change or the land and its wealth. I'm proud to be a part of Power the Future and bring Daniel Turner here to you. Our future depends on it. Let's power the future as we bring America home to common sense jobs and give our rural families a voice. Visit powerthefuture.us. Powerthefuture.us is the way to bring America home.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow. For the longest time, I've wanted to come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. But up until now, I haven't been able to find anything that held up to my high standards. I finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. My new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 1-800-978-6168 and use the promo code BethAnn to get 30% off plus free shipping. We have returned. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. We're visiting today with David Burton. He's with the CO2 Coalition. You can visit their website by going to co2coalition.org. That's co2coalition.org. And David has a website, too, that I think you would find very interesting, clevel.info. clevel.info. Lots of information there, and I think you can glean quite a bit of knowledge there. We were talking about computer modeling when we went into the break. By the way, this is the final segment of today's show. It is the quickest hour of the day. We have so much fun here. And, so I'm going to let you pick back up where you were there with the computer modeling and the data that goes in and how useful and not useful it can possibly be.
Sure. There are computer models for all kinds of things. If simple things can be modeled because they're understood well, you can write a computer program that predicts how things are going to play out. Complicated things that are poorly understood can still be modeled with difficulty, imperfectly, if you can test them repeatedly. And weather models are the best example of that. They put enormous resources in doing weather models so that we can make weather predictions. And we still make fun of the weatherman, but those predictions have actually been getting a little better over time. And it's because the predictions of the models can be tested against what actually happens, and so they can correct them and try to make them work better in the future. The problem with climate models is you're dealing with what they're called general population models. They're basically trying to model everything that goes on in the atmosphere. They don't understand it well enough. The big parts of that equation are very poorly understood, like clouds. Nobody knows what clouds, what drives clouds at different levels and so forth. And the timing and altitude of clouds has a tremendous effect on whether they cause warming or cooling or different kinds of weather. None of that is understood. And GCMs, or general circulation models, are trying to make predictions out you know, 50 or 100 years into the future, which means they cannot be tested at all. Those models are pretty worthless, frankly. If it takes as many iterations as it does to get a weather model that is you know, better than just looking at your barometer, then how on earth are they going to get something of comparable complexity to work without any testing at all? It just doesn't work. So I don't believe that the climate models upon which the dire predictions are based are worth anything. And you know what else? We don't really need to depend on models to know what the effects are of CO2 emissions, because we have been driving up CO2 levels ever since World War II. Every single year, CO2 levels have gone up. So we have repeated the experiment 70 times. 70 times we have increased the CO2 level, and 70 times there have been no significant adverse effects. The main effects have been positive, and it's particularly in the agricultural sector. Agronomists are real scientists. They don't have to put science in the name of the profession. They actually measure things, and they do controlled studies in which they measure the effects of various factors on crop growth and sometimes other plants. And they have measured the fact that higher CO2 levels are tremendously beneficial for crops. I mentioned before that they make crops more water efficient and drought resilient. They also just make them grow better. So the current outdoor CO2 level average is about 0.04%. And the commercial greenhouse operators use things called CO2 generators, put extra CO2 in the air to drive that level up to about 0.15%. In other words, they almost quadruple it, because it makes the plants much healthier, much faster growing, and much more productive. That's the level approximately that was, we don't really know, during, say, the Jurassic and the Cretaceous, exactly what the CO2 level was, but we know it was higher than it is now, and that's approximately probably what it was. Those were very, very lush times in the Earth's history. So we can calculate, based on measurements that agronomists have done on various crops, that somewhere between 15 and 20% of current crop production per unit of land is directly attributable to the fact that there is not quite as severe a CO2 shortage in the atmosphere as there used to be. If we didn't have that extra productivity, we could make up the difference by putting more land under cultivation. I did some arithmetic, and if we took all the world's rainforests, both tropical and temperate, and put them to agricultural use, we could just about make up for the loss of productivity if we didn't have the extra CO2. You know, I wonder if that's what Greta wants. I don't think so. I hope not.
You know, and you know, somebody like Greta, it really bothers me, because they're scaring these young children, and they give them no hope. They have nothing to live for. They don't want to have children because that's polluting the air. They don't. The only pollution that children are is noise. But anyway, they go on and on about that. And well, I had five. I had five sons, and so I can tell you they're noisy. But you know, the global warming pushers that are pushing these lies, this false data. They want us to look at CO2 as if it was carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide. And they've got people scared to death, like the little cars that go putt-putt down the highways are the only ones giving out any CO2. And it's just crazy.
I have a dear friend who suffered from post-traumatic syndrome coming back from the war. He tried to take his life. He had a fairly late model car. It was tuned up well. He closed the garage door, sat down in his car, turned the music on, and started the engine. He woke up in the morning still alive. There was, it turns out, a vent. He was getting some air circulation in there. But the car put out so little carbon monoxide that his suicide attempt failed. Thank God it did.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, he's a wonderful man, but he, you know, had depression issues. At any rate, carbon monoxide is a deadly poison. Carbon dioxide is the stuff of life. We are carbon-based life. We are made of of hydrocarbons, things like carbohydrates and proteins and sugars and so forth, they're all made of carbon. And carbon and hydrogen, when plants make hydrocarbons, they get the carbon from the air, from CO2 in the air, and they discharge the oxygen as a waste product. And they get the hydrogen comes from water, comes up through the roots. And if they have more CO2, that's the lack of CO2 in the atmosphere is the main limit on plant growth on planet Earth.
And you know, we're out of time. But
okay,
we'll have to have you come back.
That's why it's so little is left in the atmosphere. And Mars and Venus, the oxygen in the atmosphere is almost all in CO2. On Earth, it's the other way around. It's just free oxygen because the plants used it up.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's amazing to me that CO2, you know, carbon dioxide is life, and they want to have zero CO2 come 2030, I think, is their date that they want to do that by. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think you should promote that. Thank you, David, for being with us. We'll have to have you back. There's so much information to cover, and I appreciate all that you do there at CO2 Coalition. Thank you for listening, and
thank you so much.
Work together to bring America
home. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
CSC Talk Radio's goal is to bring America home. That includes you and your business. Radio is a powerful way to brand your company and increase your profits. Find out how to join CSC Talk Radio, help educate and activate America, and grow your business at the same time. Looking for new customers? Looking to have your business reaching out from sea to shining sea? Advertise with CSC Talk Radio. Believe in your product? Let Beth Ann be your personal spokesperson to properly brand your product and company. It's simple, easy, and affordable. Grow your business, grow common sense, and together we will bring America home. To be a part of CSC Talk Radio, call 573-796-2166. That's 573-796-2166. Or send email to beth@csctalkradio.com.
What if things were made in America again? We all complain about our products, even our food coming from foreign lands and foreign laborers. But do we really understand? James Stewart didn't understand, so he dug in, and wow, he kept digging in. It all started with a light bulb. It held the label GE, but it read Made in China. Jim has done the research. Now you can have the answers in detail. Consumers can rebuild the middle class by buying things made in American communities. Find out why free trade resulted in 6 million lost manufacturing jobs and lower wages for most Americans. While free trade brought cheaper goods, we also had less money to purchase goods. That giant sucking sound sucked the life right out of American manufacturing. Order Jim's book today. What if things were made in America again? Send $24.95 to CSE Talk Radio, Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Let's build it in America, buy it in America, and bring America home.
Do we lack enthusiasm and understanding of the word liberty? Do we weep for liberty which we have lost? Or do we simply not understand the substance and sacrifice for which we were once privileged? Liberty. Webster defines liberty as the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's life, behavior, or political views. Today we seem to want restrictions. Government micromanaging our lives? But do we realize the cost? Alexander Hamilton once stated, "There is a certain enthusiasm in liberty that makes human nature rise above itself in acts of bravery and heroism." As a republic, we the people must guard the liberty of others. We must continue the enthusiasm that will make men free. Visit csctalkradio.com, where Beth Ann puts enthusiasm and common sense back into American liberty as she brings America home.